going.
On my face, and had to post it on Facebook, all right? So, always good. If you have Luke chapter 10, and I want to start at verse 25, Luke 10, 25. Testimony. Testing, one. It's on, green light. It's on channel two. Testing, one, two. You wanna come get it? Luke chapter 10, verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You've answered correctly, Jesus said. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And when he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, they beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw pass by on the other side, but a Samaritan. When he came, he traveled, and when he came there where the man was, and he saw him, he took pity on him, and he went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring out oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey. He took him to the inn, and he took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins, and he gave them to the innkeeper and said, look after him. He said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hand of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time together in your word. Thank you for your love, grace, and mercy. Thank you for the good times, and even thank you for the bad times, because the bad times prepares us for the good times and shows us your love and care even through the different trials that we go through. Help us, Lord, to continue to look to you as our strength, as our help. Help us to continue to encourage one another. And Lord, let this message speak to each of us. Help us to see, to hear, to feel, to know, to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2017, there was a social experiment that was done in the busy streets, or rather subways of New York. There was an old man that was placed in the middle of the very busy area, and he looked like he was struggling to walk, to stand, and clearly he made itself known that he needed some assistance. I mean, just by being able to look at him. He was dressed shabbily. He appeared to be struggling to stand once again. He looked like a homeless person. And of course, hundreds of people walked past this man, and only 7 people out of hundreds that walked by in this time, only 7 people stopped to offer help. The vast majority just continued to walk by. We, in the story, and I'm not, while I'm launching from the Good Samaritan, our focus isn't that story, but our focus is something that happens in that story. Our focus is look at how we can be so busy that we forget our own priorities. Look at how we can be doing so much and yet forget to look down on those that are in the greatest and have greatest of needs. See, we prioritize speed and efficiency in this world, and oftentimes what happens is because we're so busy trying to be more effective in this area and that area, that sometimes people get lost from our sights. Today, I want to talk about walking in the compassion of Christ. Walking in the compassion of Christ, us being able to see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, recognize that we're called to imitate him. We're called to follow after him. We're called to love like Jesus loved, to live like Jesus lived, and in order to serve people that Jesus served. And so God is calling us. And the song that was just sung here, Big Old Light of Mine, right? Big Old Light of Mine. That's our calling. That's our purpose. It's to be the light. And the light, the beautiful thing about light is the most powerful in the midst of darkness, right? Light pierces through the darkness. You go into a dark room and then you turn on the light, darkness disappears. Our job that God has given to us is to be the light. We are a city that is set on the hill that cannot be hidden. He's called us to do more than just exist and do more than just be busy doing things for him. He wants us to also stop and look and identify with others and feel their pain and understand their struggles and stop for a moment. Hey, maybe my life is going just fine, but somebody else is in pain and struggling right now. You know, there's a mental health epidemic in this world. And it's not that COVID caused it, but COVID helped to bring it to the surface and make it more, a little more, you know, so we can talk about it a little bit more. Our youth that had been going through all of that, this gives us opportunities to now share and talk to them. There is so much that's going on in this world that we need one another, and we need to have compassion for one another as we're going through this life. Life is tough. But I'll tell you what's tougher. What's tougher is trying to go through life alone with no help, with no love, and no care, and nobody, you know, feeling as if. And sometimes it is feeling as if, but it is, nevertheless, a problem. Walking in the compassion of Jesus. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 and 36. Matthew chapter 9. It says, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. I bring us here first because one of the things that I see here is that Jesus saw beyond the surface. Jesus saw beyond the surface. And I think what happens a lot of times with ourselves, I know I've made judgments like that based upon what I see, not knowing even the full story, but I saw something and so I interpreted it, and maybe I referenced it to another situation that happened and, you know, kind of joined those two together, whatever it is. But obviously Jesus sees differently than we do. He saw beneath the surface. And for us, sometimes we have to dig in order to get to the surface, because you know how people are. Sometimes we've got our walls, and I won't let you in completely and all that. But the unique thing about Jesus is he could go right to the source.
He understood what the problem was. You remember the man in the Gadarenes that he cast those demons out of? He understood what he was struggling with, even though the world around him did not understand what he was going through. But Jesus saw and understood. He sees beyond the surface and he saw the crowds. And I want you to see some identifiers here. It says that when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Why? They were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus saw their weakness. And oftentimes when we see someone's weakness, what we want to do is excuse it away. Well, you know, he ought to. She ought to, they ought to. And once again, I'm not standing up here as if I haven't done so, yeah. But we want to be more like Jesus. Don't be more like me. Let's be more like Jesus. Jesus looked beyond. He saw the surface. He saw the crowd. He saw their struggle. He identified their struggles as being harassed and helpless. And he decides that there's some way that he can meet a need. And what it did, it says that he was moved to compassion. When he understood and identified where they are, it says it caused something, it changed something within him. You may have heard the phrase of walk a mile in my shoes. What does that mean? That means that there are some things you cannot understand unless you, first of all, either walk this path or intentionally try to walk the path. You don't have to go there all the way. But I can try. How do I try? By talking, communicating, asking, you know, trying to identify. I don't know how to be. I don't know how to be a 65-year-old divorced white man. Let me just say it. I don't. How can I? Right? I'm not Asian. I'm not even black all the way. I am. But what I mean is culturally, I wasn't raised culturally in an African American home. Matter of fact, I don't know where I was raised. I was like all mixed up all over. All right, Hispanic, black, and all sorts of between. But my point is, you can't fully understand me, and I can't fully understand you. The blessing, one of the blessings of this congregation is we intentionally try. We intentionally try to. And Jesus came, and he saw the flaws, the errors, the saw them as harassed and helpless, saw the needs, identifies with them, feels our pain with us. Right? You remember the shortest verse in the Bible? What's the shortest verse in the Bible? He wept. Why did he weep? Well, y'all ain't heard my sermon on this one, did you? Right? He didn't weep because Lazarus died. He wept because people were mourning Lazarus' death. And he saw them mourning. He saw their hurt and their pain. And he identified with that pain. That's what he saw. God, Jesus, while he doesn't have to experience, and he knew what was happening to Lazarus. That's why I don't believe he was dealing with Lazarus' death. He had already foretold that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He knows the end from the beginning. He proclaimed it and said it. So he wasn't coming here to go, oh, Lazarus is dead. He knew in just a moment, I'm going to raise him up. But what he did is he saw his friends. He saw Mary and Martha. He saw this town people. He saw the professional mourners. He saw everyone around there mourning the loss of this man. And he identified with their hurts. That's my Jesus. That sees the hurting and the pain and says, well, let I want to investigate a little bit more. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1, verses 40 and 42.
a man with leprosy came to him. I hope you're writing these references down too. I know I don't have the PowerPoint up, but and if you want the sermon notes, just let me know, and I'll send you an email about it. Mark 1, 40 and 42. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on knees, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and he touched the man. "I am willing." And he said, "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleaned. I want to look at, once again, the compassion of Jesus. And in this particular scripture, I want us to take note of something, that Jesus has compassion and takes action. "I'm willing. I'm willing." I've had times in my life that, man, we didn't grow up with a whole lot of money. Didn't grow up with a whole lot of money, and always had needs. Always had needs. We were, the reason I never stayed in a place more than 2 years is we were always moving because of crisis. Something happened. We were always in the midst of crisis. We were getting kicked out. We couldn't pay the rent. And a family of four, we had to figure things out. And there have been some remarkable times where I just saw God working through people. Right now, somebody donated a van to my aunt when her child passed, her child and a grandchild passed away. We're still mourning their loss, and someone came and met that need. Man, you just don't even know the joy that I saw in my aunt's face. And it was just a relief, was a burden was just lifted off her shoulders. Michelle West, she's a member of the Church of Christ at West Grove. And if she's online, thank you, sister, for opening your hearts. And she was going to sell it for money. She saw the need. She just gave. I'm like, man, that's, if you need any more examples, that's enough right there for me. Lord, help us to be more like you. He said, I'm willing. He didn't just feel sorry for the man with leprosy. He touched him. Listen. A leper was thrown outside of the city. You don't touch a leper. Now you're unclean. The leper would be cast out of the city, so obviously he wouldn't contaminate others. There was a ceremonial cleansing that would have to happen in order for him to be able to come back into fellowship in the city. People would stand off from all lepers. Matter of fact, they would have to declare that they were lepers before you even approached them. They would have to scream out and cry about their leprosy, so people couldn't come too close to them. So if they were outside the city, even if they were in the midst, as it would seem, they would still have to be apart. But certainly no person would just go up to a leper and touch him. Who was here in the 80s and understood that you were here in the 80s? And you remember the AIDS epidemics, 80s and 90s and all of that? And you remember the fear that we had with AIDS and very similar to now COVID and all that? We didn't understand it. And so when you don't understand something, I want to stay away, lock ourselves away from it all. Imagine being the person that everyone else shunned. You're the person everyone shuns. Now all of a sudden you see some hope in a man named Jesus. But nobody else has been willing to help me.
Nobody else identifies with my sorrow and what I'm going through. Nobody else can understand and all that. But everyone else pushes me aside and pushes me away. Now, I could go on that for 30 more minutes.
Y'all want? No, I'm just kidding. He touched me. That might be another sermon. Jesus has to,
he already knew, but he's weighing. You know, what's the cost of, I'll put it like this.
For ourselves, I remember many times when
we would be going out and sharing the gospel. And there have been so many times where we were in some areas that weren't so savory.
You know, and it was a little scary and all of that. But, you know, all along the way, I know God is right there. You know, there's a risk, there's a sacrifice that it takes in order to go touch people. Jesus is willing to take that risk and sacrifice to go touch people.
He's willing to get his hands dirty to touch people. I hope y'all hear me. He's
willing to look dumb to touch people. He's willing to be mislabeled to touch people. They call him a drunkard, and he hang out with Republicans and all that.
And lovers, drunkards. It cost something, but he was willing to pay in order to help people.
All right, one more scripture. Luke chapter 7. Verse 11 to 15. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. And as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. And he said, "Don't cry." And then he went up and he touched the bier that they were carrying him on. And the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, get up." And the dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. You know, in this story, we see a widow. She's lost now her only son. Obviously, if she's a widow, she's also lost her husband. And now she's lost her only son, which now makes her even more vulnerable in this society. A woman, and more than likely, the son was the means of the finances after the father had already passed. And now she's in this tough spot. But what does Jesus do? He doesn't just... I mean, first of all, what a miracle. I mean, your dead son has now been raised. But think of everything that's been raised with her son. Her hope, once again, her prominence in the area, her ability to just make it day by day. He restored all of that. Why? Well, we see this. His heart went out to her. He was moved with compassion, understood her plight, and was willing to do something about it. I want to challenge us. I want to challenge us as we start closing and start landing this plane that God is calling us and desires that we be like Christ. Amen?
Yeah.
That we be like Christ. In the same way that he was willing to be able to help. And I know, see, this is the tough part about help, because we always want to qualify help. I understand this is a world always asking for help.
And sometimes because of the numbers.
How do I put this? There are more people usually that are asking to try to take advantage than a true need. I'm gonna just be honest with you. And it's tough because we have to filter. We try to filter the best we can to make sure that, you know, the things that we're doing you know, is that we're not throwing good money after bad. I've had to do that for so long. Still do it. And no, there's no perfect way, because we don't have what Jesus has to be able to really look at the hearts of that person. But in those times where I'm sitting here trying to debate, yay, nay, sometimes it's real easy to say yes or no. Sometimes it's hard to say yes or no. Because I know for myself, I like to empower people. I don't like to cripple them. I don't want people to be dependent upon you. So I want to empower you to do. And it's hard sometimes filtering all of that. But I'm telling you, when there are times where it's like, I don't really know, I'm going to err on the side of living and doing for Christ and just say, well, whatever this person is doing, whatever, I just let it fall by the wayside, right? Going to that light and that person's there and you feel it and you're like, and then you stop and you think and go, if I give it, they're just going to use it for alcohol, right? That's what we say, right? Okay. Is that always true? No. But a lot of times it is. And that's my point right there. That's the exact point I'm making. That sometimes we'll stop being a source of blessing because of that moment right there. And what I'm saying is, in those moments, it's okay if they got one over on you. They won't get it on God. They won't. And you never, never know how much of a blessing you could have been. How much, I still talk about the time, you've heard me talk about it. We were in Baltimore, we were going to a new place, and the church that we had, I'd never even seen the people at the church. But I saw the people at the church, because when we got to the apartment, there were groceries just littered right there in the front of our apartment door. And this was a time where we were struggling. And moments like that still stay with me today, because somebody thought more about me than they did about the cost of whatever those groceries were. Help us, Lord, to live more and more like you, to have compassion like you. And then the ultimate source of compassion, and this is my closing also, is found in Luke 23:34. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And they divided up his clothing by casting lots. Even as Jesus was being crucified, he shows compassion for his executioners. He asks God for forgiveness for the same people that were taking his life, who had beaten him and scourged him and put nails in his hands and nails in his feet and a crown of thorns on his head and hurled all kinds of insults at our Savior. And in that moment, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You've heard me say this before. He excused them. We don't make excuses for somebody that hurts us. They knew exactly what they did. They knew when they called me how I would react. They knew exactly what they did. That's how we talk. Jesus says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. What ultimate compassion. What example of compassion? What the greatest example of compassion? Seeing our Savior there and allowing them to get away with it. Hello, somebody. Help us, Lord. Help us to live more and more like you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we see your compassion, Lord. We see it throughout Scripture. And if we're honest, we see it throughout our lives. Lord, you don't give us what we deserve. You give us so much more. We have, none of us have been so great and so wonderful to deserve all the blessings that we have. Father, you're the source of our joy, our strength, all of our blessings, everything that we have. You are our all in all. And we ask you to help us. We know that this world, it throws so much at us, and there's so many distractions sometimes. And sometimes we can get busy and doing so many things, Lord, and we're focused on ministry and this and that. But even as we were reading earlier and started out looking at the priest and the Levite and all, they were busy. Help us not to be too busy to stop, to talk, to look down, to help somebody up, to help them get back on the way. Lord, that's what you did for us. Help us, Lord, to have that same compassion on others, to have that same mindset as we look out for the well-being of others, as we try to help others, to move them closer to you, Lord, each and every day. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask and we pray. Amen. Amen.